Blog Talk Radio.
It's 6:30 on a Sunday, and we are live. This is your weekly AA meeting with Arlo and Adam.
That's right, everybody. Straight out of the rusty cage, we are back. This is the AA meeting with Arlo and Adam. I'm Adam, and with me, as always, is the Spoon Man himself. What is up, Arlo?
What the fuck is a spoon?
Well, for you who didn't get the reference, I am referring to the late, great Chris Cornell, who passed away this week. Very dark, dark week for me. And
dude,
this has been an emotional week.
Very.
A lot of crazy stuff all over the good stuff with the bad stuff. And it's, but that one for me was a big one.
Yep. I know it was. It had to be hard because you were looking so forward to Soundgarden being at Rocklahoma.
Yeah, I was. And
they were headlining a night, weren't they?
Saturday night. Next Saturday.
I wonder who they're going to get to replace that.
You know, I've been telling a lot of people this on the Facebook groups. And for those of you who are watching or listening, there are these Facebook groups dedicated to Rocklahoma. So if you're going, by all means, get in there because you're going to meet so many good people, so many good parties, information for you. But yeah, he was set to headline on Saturday. And honestly, dude, he died 10 days away from walking onto that stage and me seeing him for the first and only time in my life. And he was at the very, very top of my bucket list.
Yep.
He had an amazingly unique voice.
Unreal voice, dude.
And if you don't, just get on YouTube and don't even look at his stuff because he loved doing covers. And if you're on my Facebook page, I shared a cover that he did by a Prince's song.
I did too.
Nothing Compares to
I
You.
I did too. That is my favorite cover that he did.
Right. And oh my gosh. I mean, you really, I mean, it's acoustic, and so it's nothing but his voice, and I mean, it really did. The music died a little bit.
And you know, like, the thing I loved about his version of Nothing Compares to You is it had that little bit more sadder tone to it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it really drew you, like, when he sung it, it was like he felt it about somebody.
Yeah.
Prince sung it, and it was great. Equally as great, but it had a little bit more of, you know, that R&B, a little bit more.
Right. And Sinead O'Connor remade it.
Mm-hmm.
And his was more of a remake of hers than
mm-hmm.
Prince's. As far as replacing, I don't think they're going to replace him. They would have announced it by now, I would think.
Wow.
It's just short notice. And
it
for
is.
A
it's
headliner. Now, Rocklahoma is part of a larger series that's sponsored by Monster, by AEG Productions. And so they have a whole series. It's called World's Loudest Month. You can look that up on Facebook, World's Loudest Month. They have them all over the country. There's, like, just to name a few, there's Carolina Rebellion, Welcome to Rockville. Texas has got a couple, Tulsa Rock Fest. There's one in Florida, Fort Rock. And what are you looking at out there?
Cat came back.
Yeah, and he played a couple of those dates. And some of the other headliners that we didn't get, one of them is Avenged Sevenfold, so a lot of us were hoping that they would step in.
Speaking of Avenged Sevenfold.
Yeah.
Hopefully they do. I'm going to go see them on the 16th of June in Dallas, Texas with Metallica.
Have you ever seen them before?
No, I've seen Metallica before.
Where you're going? Because they're going to blow your mind. I mean, I saw them year before last at Mayhem, and their entire stage is fully functional. It's fully interactive. The whole time they're playing, there's stuff moving in and out in the background. I mean, full on set, dude. It's just freaking amazing. I love Avenged Sevenfold.
You and me both, bro.
What I think will happen is they will bump Stone Sour up. Corey Taylor is the lead singer of Stone Sour, but he also does Slipknot. I think they'll bump him up to headliner, and then they'll just stretch out all the other acts that day, so everybody gets to play a little bit longer. There's also a chance of rain that day, so it may even out. Last couple of times that it was set to rain, they evacuated the grounds and kicked us all to the campsites and our vehicles until the storms cleared. But yeah, Chris Cornell, man, I tell you, Arlo, I'm thinking about it. There's only been three celebrities that, excuse me, I have actually wept for. And Kurt Cobain, because back then, that's when I had just discovered music and was really into the grunge.
I remember.
Robin Williams.
Yeah, that's horrible.
And now Chris Cornell. Incidentally, all three suicides.
You know the thing about that is people get these images, self-images they make of these people. You know, they tend to think, oh, they're millionaires. Oh, they're this. Nothing's going to bug them.
More money, more problems.
Exactly. As Biggie Smalls says, more money, more problems.
Yeah.
I said people put these self-images that they have of these people that, oh, life's got to be great for them because they have money. Oh, life's this because, you know, and the thing about depression and suicide is it has no boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't care if you're rich. It doesn't care if you're poor. It doesn't care if you're a celebrity. Right. It doesn't care if you're blue-collar.
Mm-hmm.
It's when it gets a hold of you like anything else, it's going to get a hold of you.
Well, and, you know, there's a lot of people, due to for whatever reason, who suffers from depression, whether it from addiction, which left them with a chemical imbalance, maybe born with a chemical imbalance, or maybe just suffered horrific traumatic experiences in their life, too many to name. But depression is very real, and it's not just something that, oh, he's sad or anything like
and
that.
It's not something that you're just going to say, hey, go walk in the woods and enjoy nature and it's going to get better.
Yeah.
It's not, unless you've been around it, unless you've been through it, or, you know what.
Yeah. And in Chris's case, the talk screen came back, or no, they haven't had the talk screen. I'm trying to remember. He was last conversation. The last song that he played was Led Zeppelin's As I Lay Here Dying.
Oh, wow. That's got to be a sign, though, man.
And traditionally, after every set or after every show, first thing Chris would do is go back to his room or green room or whatever you want to call it and call his wife. Well, he called his wife. And she said their conversation, he sounded a little off. He was slurring his speech. And she asked what happened. And he said, well, excuse me. I'm dealing with some chest congestion this week, guys. So I'm sorry if I cough a lot. He said, I took an extra Ativan or two. Which, from an addict and a rock star status, that you probably meant three or four Ativan. So they ended their conversation, and she tried to call him later on that night and couldn't get a hold of him. So she had a family friend go down and check on him, and their family friend forced his way into the hotel room and found him dead in the bathroom with something around his neck. That's really all they're releasing right now, but just, gosh, words cannot describe how big of a loss that is for music and just in general.
Yep.
But for me, like I said, grunge was always a big part of my life. So, that really rocked me.
Yeah, absolutely. I knew how much you were looking forward to this. That's you were talking about every time we talked about Rocklahoma by ourselves.
Yeah. That and the other thing, and I'm even representing so people can see, our campsite. I will be there this year, and, I have a campsite, and it's a huge party, Camp Mardi Gras. And if any of you ever been to Mardi Gras or a Mardi Gras party, you know how Mardi Gras rolls, you know, just wild, fun, adult.
Don't give Adam any beads. His shirt will come off.
Nobody wants to see my middies.
He's just hitting them with that flex when that shirt comes off.
I try to flex, but I got no pecs.
They call him the King Kong of Party Mardi Gras.
Just call me Bob, because, you know, as what they say in Fight Club, Bob's got bitch tits. I might bust out the truffle shuffle.
Goonies. It's still a cult classic, but
you bet. But we'll be out there, and we do an annual after party. This will be our fourth year doing it, and every year it's doubled. And this year, man, we've got a lot of press for it, which is another exciting thing that's happened to me this past week. I got invited to be on Tulsa's radio show, KMOD, the Big Mad Morning Show. It is tomorrow morning.
Oh, what time?
8 o'clock.
Okay, good. I won't be at work yet. I can tune in. Straight up and down at 8?
Well, I mean, it's radio and just like the podcast.
So like 7:55.
8-ish. Yeah. But I'm really excited because, of course, the dude on a podcast loves to hear himself talk. And I've always dreamed of being on a radio.
Of course. So. Are you going up there or are you going to be on the phone?
I'm just calling in.
Okay. That's still cool, though, dude. That's still badass.
They put it out. They reached out to me because they plugged our campsite a couple of times. When every time they talked about Rocklahoma, they talked about the campsite.
Of course.
And I try to stay humble, but we've become somewhat famous or infamous, depending on how you look at it, around the campgrounds. We do it up big. We got 8 campsites put together this year, and about 2 to 3 of them is just nothing but party area. We've got so much room for it.
So much room for activities.
And it's just
drinking
good
activities.
Fun. And, you know, like they say, you know, what happens at Rocklahoma stays at Rocklahoma. So
big Adam shirt coming off.
You get a bunch of people around.
If I get to see that picture, it's going on the AA page.
But, you know, we're really chill. We just like to party. We want to make sure everyone has fun. Obviously, there's always
safe.
Yeah, yeah. And we always make sure that it's a safe place for all of our guests. Mm-hmm. So. No one's going to get over there and run into Bill Cosby or anything. And so did you ever, you know, Bill Cosby was in Hook, right? The Robin Williams movie.
No.
Yeah. He played Rufio.
Oh, all right. Cut your
tail. Anyway,
Rufio. That was worse. That was funnier. Your reaction to your joke was funnier to me than the joke.
I think I'm fucking hilarious.
Your reaction, yeah, I was like, all right. You just got
I
so
got
excited.
You
got it. Oh, Lord.
So, yeah, I'll be on the air tomorrow. I'll plug that. I'll be plugging our station.
I'm going to need Nicholas.
It only took 15 episodes, folks. But yeah, and that's also pretty big news, dude. We're on episode 15.
15, dude. I knew we'd do good. I knew we could make it last.
Right.
Because we mesh really well together, and that was just shooting the shit at the bars.
Yeah.
You know, and
we always drew a crowd.
It is, and that like I said, my buddy Josh Cohen, ESPN Radio, West Palm Beach. But he he's the one that told me that. He said if you can draw a crowd by just talking in a bar and get people to turn around and listen and try to chime in, he goes, dude, you got yourself a radio show.
Yeah.
And then I was like, who do I got that with? That's a good conversation.
That tells shitty jokes.
that won't outshine me on his jokes. Like he laughs more at them than anybody else. I'm just joking.
Well, we don't have a live audience, so somebody's got to fill in for him.
This is true.
I wear many hats here at the show.
I forgot. We so totally posted the link late. I didn't post the link.
Oh,
until
crap.
Just now, like maybe 5 minutes ago.
That's fine. Maybe they missed that train wreck of a show. I'll file that in the FU list. That now that we've actually shared the link, if anyone wants to call in, our guest call in number is 516-666.
Pick up sticks.
9510. We are also on Facebook. You can visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/AA Meeting Podcast. We are on Twitter, AA Meeting Pod, and now we are also on YouTube, where you can see our rugged good looks.
You don't make the noise.
Don't make the noise. That's what it is. Okay. I'm working on it.
I'm like, why is there sound effects this week?
Well, see, my eyes look like I'm a stoner anyway, because if you look any picture you look at me or see me on video, it looks like my eyes are closed. So I've got to signify, hey, I winked at you, right? Is that not how this works? That's not how you do this work.
I say it every time you try it, I hear.
And that's just because I hold my hand under the table so you can't see the gun firing.
Oh,
Shooter
boy.
McGavin style.
Dude, that's great. That is great. Every time I was like, I first thought it was just me hearing things. Then you did it again last week. He did this. And I was like, yep, nope. He is sufficiently making noises with his wing.
Maybe that's what my my shortcoming is there.
It's just a quick wink and a smile.
Okay. I'll try being more nonchalant. Nonchalant's not really my style. It's never been good at it, so I'll just keep working on the no game.
It worked for you, dude. Man, you know, next week, or not next week, in 2 weeks, we're really going to do a show more on like relationships, or if you got women problems, to call in, or if you got issues of trying to have to talk to the girl.
Or wink at a girl.
Just don't make sound effects.
Okay. Sound effects are bad. What about bad impressions?
That's me all the time.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, I quote way too many movies. But the problem, my movie references are always so obscure. Like I'm making like a Wayne's World or Austin Powers, or shoot, I'll even go as bad as like Vegas Vacation.
you were using the Nick Papagiorgio forever.
I know.
But it's good. I'm not hating on it. It was good, and it was always in time and in tune with something that we were going to do.
Right. But yeah, and we're thinking we're going to start working on getting our segments in too. So kind of keep it more streamlined and keep things more organized. So we want to hear from you guys.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Get on the Facebook page. Again, that's facebook.com/AA Meeting Podcast. And shoot us an email. If you're dealing with something personal, you can remain totally anonymous. As you know, here in the podcast, if you've listened to our past shows, we never name drop. And
ever.
We'll be completely anonymous. And then we'll talk about your issue and see what we think. And or if you want to talk on air, you don't have to give your name. Call in our number. Again, that's 516-666.
Pick up sticks.
9510. And everybody's welcome to call in. We'll help and we'll be objective and help you kind of look from both angles. But shoot, yeah, man, we love talking about that relationship stuff, but you know, I'm married, so
and I suck at them. So I mean,
if I was in trouble all the time, I wouldn't still be married. So
and I just suck at them. So you may not get the best advice, but you'll get some kind of advice,
right?
I can probably tell you how to pick up her friend after you all break up. That's probably what I would be best at.
Well, isn't that how the Spice Girls song says, "If you want to be my lover, you got to get with my friend"?
I thought that was just nature, anyways.
Oh, I thought that was just being a man whore.
I thought that was just the nature of the beast.
Oh, God. And you talk about me flexing. You got to watch the video. Speaking of say beast, without pulling up the King Kong arms, a team too strong.
We dumb, man. People might just shut the show off. Like, nope, we're done. Episode 15, we're done. Everyone quit listening. Hey,
one guy killed himself, and two guys should have.
We don't name drop.
Yeah,
but you know we get messages all the time.
Sure,
I got one.
Mm-hmm.
Like this morning. I think it was this morning.
Really? Okay.
And it said that I had a great smile and a nice voice.
Ooh.
And I was like, yeah.
Now you know what the trick is, Arlo. What you do is you lean in. And this, I learned this from 13 years of marriage. You lean in, snuggle up, right up close to your ear, really softly say, "Dirty things."
Dude.
You make her laugh, you're going to make her pancakes in the morning. It's just the way it is.
I'll tell you what. Know? I say dirty things, but it ain't just dirty
things. I screwed that up, too. That's what the book said, is that whispered dirty things in their ears. So.
Straight up whispered it. Well, and you wonder why she kind of just gave you this awkward look. I don't get me wrong. I get the awkward look sometimes.
I thought it was a good thing whenever they giggle on.
Oh, man. But, yeah, I want old people to call in about their issues with women. You know, if they got a girl they need to ask out.
Yeah.
Nothing
comes easy. And it's all in your mindset. Have envision that success in your mind. And if you envision the success, then, you know, I was always told that I was really good at interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Every interview I've ever been on, the only reason I didn't get the job was I was usually underqualified because I usually swing for the fence. But my interviews always go well, and that's because I go in with the mindset I've already got the job. Because if you go in and you feel like you're trying to impress somebody, that's when you're going to screw up the most. Because most people try too hard. They're trying to sell themselves too hard.
Yep.
Go in like you're meeting your new boss and you're just meeting somebody. And you're like, hey, how's it going? You know, smile, clean up real well. This is coming from a guy who spent 3 years in HR. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. But another good trick is the thing that you will never think about. Trim your nails and make sure your fingernails are clean.
Always.
Especially in an office environment. I've been told by 3 different managers that they always look at a male's fingernails.
Of course.
Because if you're going to come in dirty, that usually means, now most of us were thinking, oh, he's got dirty nails, so he works with his hands a lot. He's fixing his truck and all of this stuff. But they want to know somebody that's clean. They're going to really take care of their image,
mm-hmm.
because they're a reflection of the rest of the company. But yeah, you go in like you're meeting somebody. You're just meeting new friends, you know. Don't go in like
I kind of approach the same thing with girls when I talk to them. But mine's hair.
I wish I would have thought about that long before. Mine's just walk
hair.
Up like we're already dating.
And what I mean by hair is I look at the hair,
mm-hmm.
and if it looks like it hasn't really been, you know, even if she's good mm-hmm. looking, you know what I mean? Like if it's not like, you know, because girls don't always wash their hair every day.
Right.
And if it looks like it's been a day or two longer.
Starting to get greasy.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And yeah. There's attractive girls that do that.
Sure.
And I can't do it. I got a theory that their hygiene is not that great.
Well, I used to date a girl, and she had really, really frizzy hair, so mm-hmm. she had to use like a quarter bottle of grease on it, or not grease, but gel,
uh-huh.
just to keep it from blowing away. And the bad part is, and I like to play with girls' hair.
Oh, yeah, who doesn't?
Especially if we're just laying there cuddling. Mm-hmm. Man, nothing like getting your hand at the back of their head and just...
That's what I say.
Not being sexual for one. But I mean, seriously, I like to run my hands through some long hair. That's why
I like these conversations.
Yeah. Almost every girl I've ever dated has had long hair. I've just realized I've never dated a girl with short hair. And it's not that it wasn't intentional, but I just really enjoy playing with the girl's hair.
Like hair, the upkeep of the hair is what matters to me.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's long. I don't care if it's short. I don't care what it is.
Yeah, that was my point. I reached into hers, not to interrupt, but it was all greasy. And I pull it back
like you're
from that
butter
gel.
And loaf of bread with
I'm like,
no.
Or I was like Jim Carrey on Dumb and Dumb.
I couldn't have done it. I'd have got up and left.
It was tough.
I'd have been like, I'm not.
Obviously, I didn't marry her, so I didn't mind.
Exactly. I'd have been like, I'm not feeling well. I gotta go.
She's like, yeah, you don't want to do that. I have really frizzy hair, so I have to gel it down. Sorry, go ahead. Back to what
you're
saying.
Wow. Yeah. But that's my point, though. That's what I go with. I always look at the hair.
Mm-hmm.
And the hair and feet. I'm big on hair and feet.
Are we talking like foot fetish kind of feet?
Nope.
Or just they take care of their feet? Like
that they take care of their
feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That they have nice feet. Like I can't handle those real long...
Monkey feet?
Yeah, I didn't want to say that. I was trying to be nice. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like those ones that look like, literally, that they're like, you have to watch, they're like this thin.
Your fingers.
Yeah. And they look, and their toes come out like fingers. You know, I can't handle that.
I'm kind of with you. But the on the flip side, I wish I had those. Yeah, I know, right? But it's funny now, but I'm like really bad. I pick stuff up with my feet. And so,
because your back's bad.
Yeah. No, I just, I'm
because you're going to throw your back out.
See, growing up, and my sister, she listens to our podcast now.
Okay.
And she can attest to this. Me and my sister, we used to have pinch fights with our feet all growing up. So one of us would be sitting there playing video games, and then the other would reach our feet over there and like get each other. And I tell you, man, I could probably lift more with my feet than I can with my arm. And so I'm so freaking lazy now that I don't bend over to clean up house. So if I'm picking up trash or something or dirty clothes, grab my feet, reach them up there, Got it.
Don't want to throw the back out.
Wife will walk around. So that's freaking horrible. Or I'll like get my flip flops and flip them over with my feet and put one shoe on with the other.
I love it. I'm not gonna lie. That's a pretty. I mean, that's you're kind of like Dr. Octopus on Spider-Man.
Monkey Man, man.
Yeah, you're just sitting here grabbing stuff all over.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
It's really convenient, though, especially when you're lazy.
I like it. That's a good idea. I mean,
things you learn on here.
I'm telling you that Adam likes to pick things up with his feet.
Yeah.
But no, it's not a foot fetish.
Okay.
I just.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, not at all. Or if you have long feet,
yeah.
You know, that long, narrow feet,
yeah.
You know, nothing wrong with that either.
Don't matter what shape or size or appearance your body is, there's always going to be that person out there that likes it. Even the things that you hate.
Always.
You know, I've got a big gut. And I've always thought that all women want a man with abs.
I did too.
A man that looks like Channing Tatum.
I did too.
There's girls out there, and this is total news to me, and I'm not judging these girls. God bless you. Be more vocal. Make us feel better about ourselves. I mean, for real, there's girls out there that loves a man with a gut. Like, the dad bod is what they're calling it. And I was like, yes! I don't have to hit the gym. All right. I'm happy for you. I'm glad you're opening your gym, but if you're buddy.
You know,
I know somebody out there who likes it.
You know, I've always been a big guy.
Yeah.
I've always
yeah.
been a big guy.
Yeah.
And I felt that for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fuck, dude, I can't compete with this dude. But like I said, you got to know what you bring to the table.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm devilishly charming.
And humble.
Absolutely. B, I got a disarming smile. See, I got nice curly hair.
This is true.
If I never understood all the, like, when I was growing up, I hated it. Like, I kept it short.
Yeah. You grew it out there for a while. That was getting long.
Well, I grew it out to donate, and I'm doing it again.
That's awesome.
I'm going to show the camera real quick.
Okay. Got a little hat, Ed. That's the second longest I've ever seen it. You know, some dude sitting there with a ponytail or a man bun.
Man bun.
Like, oh, you ain't got nothing. You keep trying.
And I'm growing it out again to donate.
Awesome. I never knew that about you, dude.
That's why I did it the first time. The first time I did it was because I was working at the casino.
Mm-hmm.
And I called my girls, but they were these older ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them got breast cancer. Well, when people get something like that, some life-changing, life-altering illness like that, I can't sit there and be like, oh, I understand. Oh,
yeah.
I understand. But because you can't, because
mm-hmm.
you never had it. Even if you've seen someone else go through it, it's not you. Like you talked about with your Meniere's.
Yeah. Yeah. You think you know, but you have no idea.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I was like, what can I do to make, I'm broke as a joke. I couldn't donate money to anything.
Mm-hmm.
I said, grow your hair out.
Yeah.
Grow your hair out, donate it. And I kept doing it, and they were like, what are you doing? And I was like, well, I'm growing my hair. I was like, I'm going to donate it to Locks of Love. Made their day. They lit up like a Christmas tree, every one of them.
Right.
And so I got another friend who recently got diagnosed that she's cancer-free now, thank goodness.
Awesome.
Yeah, awesome. Totally amazing. That's why I'm doing it again.
That's
awesome,
dude.
So, and I tell you what was cool, though, what I missed, was I used to cornrow it.
I remember that.
I got so tired of it.
You got that photo. You're going to have to share that photo on the page.
Yeah, we will. I'll break it up. Actually, I'll pull it up right now.
This guy walking out back in his days when he was with a lot of different fighters coming down the ramp with cornrows. And I was like, man, I never knew Arlo rocked the roll.
I did, dude.
Awesome.
It was, because I didn't do it because of any style or whatever. I just did it because I needed to get it out of my face.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, I'm so tired of this stuff being in my face.
Yeah.
And my boxing trainer, he was like, man, get a corn roll. I was like, you know someone? He's like, yeah, man, roll with me. We went up there. Girl get it done like in 10 minutes, dude. Keep it out of my face for like a week.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty legit, man. I missed the corn. I couldn't do them again. But the difference between age 25 corn rolling your hair, there's age 35.
You better be rolling hard, buddy, if you're going to still be pulling that stuff off.
Oh, dude, I'm not even close to rolling hard.
So, you know, I talked to you earlier this week about me getting in a Facebook debate, and I thought it'd be good for our show.
Okay.
And you as a man who's still dating, you probably deal with this. Me as a married man, I don't ever have to worry about this.
Okay.
But what I'm talking about now, before I go into this, I'm going to put it out there. I'm going to little disclaimer. I am a person who believes that every man, woman, child needs to love themselves for who they are, for what they look like, their natural body.
Hang on one second. I don't know if they can see this.
All right, go for it. Look at those corn rolls. You go, boy.
Y'all got to look at the YouTube. Watch the YouTube video later on.
Yeah, we'll share it on Facebook, too.
Yeah, we'll also share it on Facebook.
But I think everybody needs to learn how to love their own body.
Exactly.
Now, for women, personally, I love a girl who fixes herself up.
Of course. Every man does.
But as long as you're doing it for the right reasons, you know, you want to accentuate your beauty. You know, you put a less is more. You got some beautiful eyes, so draw more attention to the eyes. You know, you got big, luscious lips, then, all right, accentuate those with some lipstick. I don't know. I'm not a woman. I've never done makeup before. But then...
So he says.
Well, there was that one time I got hard on times and, you know...
In college.
I was broke and I was in Vegas, but that's another
Need
story.
To get home.
Yeah. You do what you got to do, you know. Anything for a buck. Sometimes you got... Never mind. Anyway, we're going to... But it's another thing to transform yourself with makeup.
Okay.
You know, to where you're a different person. And I saw this story on Facebook, and these makeup artists, they are artists. I mean, the things they can do with makeup is insane. But there's a lot of people that do that now, and they do that for like just to go, whether it's getting a job, whether it's getting a date. Whether they're going to impress somebody, so they cake on these hours and hours of makeup. They wear the Wonder bras or water bras, the boost up stuff, and the Spanx and the stuff to contort your body, the butt implants that they've got now. Basically, it's almost to the point anymore, from what I see, is if before you date somebody, you almost have to take them swimming just to see what they naturally look like. Because me as a married man, okay, if I was on the dating scene, I would be pissed, and not for being superficial, but if I went on a date with this girl, she's a beautiful girl, I get attracted to her, I understand, because when you start dating somebody, you're picking out the things that you like about them to determine whether that's somebody you want to look at all the time. Then by date three, she shows up, and it's your expecting girl you've been talking to, and some other girl shows up.
Or you show up to the house and her hair is pulled back and she's got the mask on, you know, and I know what you mean. And,
do you ever run into that?
Well, you know, I'm a sober man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't drink, don't do drugs. So I tend to look real deep at a girl, mm-hmm. even the one that all the guys flock into.
Right.
And you can look and tell if it's whether you're an expert in makeup or not.
Yeah.
And you can tell if she's put a ton on or not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
One of the first giveaways I do, and this is probably just for girls that put a ton on and try to hide their faces, I look at their neck.
Oh, yeah.
I look at their neck to face ratio.
Yeah.
And if I see a difference in blends, I'm like, I'm going to pull back on that one because she puts her face on. Or even the ones that you can look and just absolutely see it's just, you know, over the top cake. And I know what you're saying. You know, it's I honestly think women should feel free to go without makeup.
Yeah.
I mean, we're guys. I used to joke with a lot of girls, and I'd say, guys, we're just naturally beautiful because we don't put nothing on.
Yeah. Well, and that's true. That was actually one of the points I made. I was like, you know, I'm not trying to be sexist. I understand. I'm not either. The mentality out there today.
Hey, anybody listening want to chime in on this? Was it 516-666-9510?
We want to hear from you.
Yeah, give us a call on this topic. It's 516-666-9510. Give us a call.
Especially our female listeners.
Especially female.
Or maybe any single guys that's had the horror story. Well, let's look at it this way. Okay, Gwyneth Paltrow, we can both agree, she's a beautiful woman, right? But she's got a slender frame. She's not big busted. She's good looking though. She's beautiful. Now, if girl that looks like Gwyneth Paltrow, and you sat down on a date and she looks like Kate Upton, and then four dates later she shows up and now she's Kate Upton. It's lying. I'm sorry. It's deceitful because.
And you know, here's where it goes to.
Right.
And here's where I'm going to go with this.
Yeah.
Of course. A beautiful face will always attract me.
Right.
But definitely I'm going to get old with it.
Mm-hmm.
Give me something that sparks a fire inside of me.
Right.
Give me a mind.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the soul. Give me something that I can that's going to make me want to do better because of you. Don't just give me a pretty face that you're fake putting on.
Right.
That's the first mistake of this whole conversation you had with those people is that they had a breakdown that this was okay. Why do you – the other thing that I would ask them that doesn't seem like it got asked is why do you feel the need to have to do this to yourself to feel accepted into the society?
And that is totally the other flip side because there are – that we – unfortunately, I mean, I'm not agreeing with it. I'm not excusing it, but we do live in a superficial society.
Very superficial.
I mean, I've got a couple of friends that are beautiful, beautiful people on the outside. And they get away with so much more. They get so many more opportunities than some of my other friends who do not fit the same standard that they do. And I'm not saying they're not beautiful people on the outside. I'm just saying they don't have the big boobs that everybody claims everybody wants or whatever.
Or the big lips or the big butt. All the sexy features that the world
blemishes.
Tells you. All the sexy features that the world tells you have to be attractive.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Give me beautiful eyes and a beautiful smile any day of the week because the eyes are gonna, are the gateway to your soul.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm gonna get all. That's what I'd rather hear.
Right.
I want to be able to be with someone that I can sit here and talk to. That they ain't gotta, when it's time to dress up, we'll dress up.
Yeah.
But if we don't have to be that way every day.
Right.
Well,
and I put it like this: what female is gonna want a guy that comes in or not only comes, I'm not talking about coming in from work, but goes out in public with dirty shirts, dirty cutoff shirts, nasty pants. You know, they obviously don't take care of themselves as opposed to somebody who a guy comes out and they're sharp dressed or, just they look good because they take pride in themselves. Mm-hmm. And, I don't talk a lot about my wife on here, and that's just because I don't want to be mushy because I can get carried away. I've been with the woman for 13 years, and we've been married for 10. And I worked in a bar called the Cubby Hole here in town. It's no longer there.
We worked at the bar.
Yeah, we worked at the bar. I was a DJ for a long time.
Out security for a long time.
We did. We owned that place, man.
We did.
Even back then, and Arlo says I had the no game game.
He did.
I never had women fawning over me.
He did. He just didn't know it.
But
he did, but he didn't. He didn't accept it. And that's another thing that's wrong with the society that we're going. I'm sorry to get on track. Get off track. Whatever you're talking about. That's the other thing. Was for whatever reason you felt that need to feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
Something in your life said I can't pursue that one.
Right.
I can't pursue that one because I don't feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
I got lucky enough when I went to security because I did that just because I watched Roadhouse. Okay, not really.
Everybody wants to be Patrick.
Okay,
Swayze.
Not really.
Don't lie. It was a little bit.
I wanted to rip someone's throat out, but but I got lucky enough to be in security, and for whatever reason it is, the toughest guy in the room they think is you.
Okay.
So I got lucky enough.
Right.
To get with the girls that I at the time I thought I had no chance of being with.
Right.
I had no should not even been close to getting that close with.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it was all in that aspect because whatever reason, I let society tell me I was not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And in the world, you cannot let anything tell you are not good enough. Never let anyone make you feel like you're not worth it. You see an attractive lady, whatever makes you attracted to her.
Right.
But first, before you ever just start looking at what's easy on the eyes to you,
mm-hmm.
go talk to her.
Yeah.
That will tell you 10 times more of anything. I'll sit there and look at what people are saying is the prettiest girl in the world and tell them, no, she's ugly because I hate her attitude.
Right.
And I have no problem telling her she is not hot enough, part of my language, but to be mm-hmm. a bitch and walk off.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? I will whoop your boyfriend's ass.
And that also goes on to say, you know, it does not matter how pretty the book is. That doesn't mean the story inside is worth reading.
The old saying, man, never judge a book by its cover.
That's right.
That's it to the T, man. But that's where I was getting at with
yeah.
you. That for whatever reason, someone made
mm-hmm.
you feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And you never should.
Right.
I was that way.
Mm-hmm.
I was that way for the first year I was at the Covey. I thought, oh, these girls are just all up on you because they're trying to get in free.
Yeah.
Which part of it probably was, some of them. But then a large majority
right.
just, for whatever reason, got their gears grinded when I grabbed some dude and slung him right through a door. You
yeah.
know what I mean? For whatever reason, it worked. And
yeah.
so I got lucky enough that it really built a lot of confidence.
That's awesome, dude. But what – I got sidetracked there. For me – what made my wife stood out in this literal sea of beautiful mid-20, early-20s-year-old girls, mm-hmm. for me, it was her smile because she had a huge smile. And
do not take this the wrong way. Your wife yeah. is a very attractive lady.
She is. She's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And
give you props for that.
Thank you, sir. And I'm a person, I love to laugh. And humor is everything to me, and so for me, I look at a girl's smile, and I'll make no secret, I'm a boob guy. I mean, I'm one of those guys that, you know, their cleavage is squirrels, dude, and it takes everything I have not to look, and I'm not trying to be a pervert, and I'm not trying to be that chauvinistic guy that's all, look at those, but that's my thing. But more than that is a girl's smile, and like you said, the eyes. Now, for someone who loves to laugh, a beautiful smile is everything. Because that's what you live
that's
for.
It. And we're funny motherfuckers.
No, we
sorry.
Are,
I
dude.
Say that out there. I've been trying to watch the F-bomb.
PG-13. There went our one. Fuck. Oh, I'm wait. No.
There went two. Geez, now we're back up to the RA.
But ladies, do not be afraid to share your smile. And if there's anything you want to take care of, go to the dentist.
Exactly. But and I totally yeah. agree with that, dude, about girl smile. I absolutely love a girl that smiles.
Yeah.
Like, it's got to be that genuine smile.
Right.
It's got to be the, you know, the big, oh, my God, just smile from ear to ear.
Right.
Teeth showing.
Yeah.
You know, just,
oh, yeah.
that's it, man. And
yeah.
a pair of tight pants.
Yeah.
There's
you like to be able to count how much change you've got in your pocket, dude.
Three ways to draw in Arlo. One, a great smile.
Very tight. I can
two,
tell you tight pants.
Two is beautiful eyes. Number three is you fill out a tight pair of jeans and I'm yours. You can tell me run through that wall. And I'm going to figure out a way to go through that brick wall.
Arlo's like getting kind of chill. Legging season.
And that's the truth,
yeah.
though, man. That's the truth. And you know what is it? That Marilyn Monroe quote that says, "You make a girl laugh, you make a girl do anything."
Yeah. You know, next, and then to go accompany that, next to for me, the smile is attitude, man.
Oh yeah.
And it does not matter how attractive society thinks you are, or how unattractive society thinks you are. If you have that personality, that confidence is a big one. And I'm not talking about, hey, I'm the greatest thing in the world. It's not giving a S, not caring, just you're you. you know, I'm this. I like to a nerd. I'm a nerd. I love comic books, or I love sports, and I love to go to games. Just somebody who lives life like what's the song? Live life like you're dying.
Exactly.
You know, somebody just carefree, and for me, that's just.
Free and easy down the road I go, baby.
Yeah. Dude, that was slick. I like that. But, yeah, I mean, people get so caught up in their emotion, their physical appearance, their body image. And I really hate to see people spend so much money and time on makeup and Wonder Bras and Spanx.
I tell you what, I told one girl this. I said, She had a big issue with her smile.
Yeah.
And I didn't mind. I thought it was a gorgeous smile.
Yeah.
But I would tell you, I told her, I said, your imperfections is what makes you perfect.
You know who had one of the most beautiful smiles that everybody hated that I absolutely love was Jewel. You remember her from the 90s?
I remember the name. I can't even picture her face.
You'll have to look her
I
up.
I had a lot of memories beat out of my
head.
I mean,
she had messed up teeth.
But she owned it.
But it's character, man.
You owned it. Your imperfections made you perfect.
Right.
And that's what people don't get, because don't sit there and say, oh, I got to look like them. I got to look like him.
Right.
I got to look like her. Look like you. Why? Because there right. is only one of you, and that's all there ever
right.
will be.
Well, and makeup washes off. Spanx, you got to pull them off and wash them eventually. Wonder Bras, you take them off and... No matter what you put on, it's going to come off someday. So make the positive out of the negatives life gives you and own it. If I had a scar down my face, I'm going to make it look like I'm on badass mother effort.
I would lie and tell everybody I got it in a riot when
yeah.
I was working security.
Dude, I punched a shark when I was surfing.
Not telling that I turned around and hit a ladder that was open or something, you know. But, I mean, that's the truth.
You laughed
though,
so
man.
Hard when I did that. No.
And you know, that's the truth, though,
yeah.
man. People get so tied up in wanting to look like somebody.
Yeah.
Why? Because the news told me they were attractive?
Right.
You know what? Let me sit down and have a conversation with you, and I'll tell you that you're absolutely attractive.
Look at Kate Moss, who is one of the biggest models in the world. And she had to get addicted to cocaine and heroin and all these other drugs to maintain that mm-hmm. anorexic figure. And I can't stand that heroin chic.
I can't stand the absolute... That crackhead skinny they get.
Yeah.
And like you said, the heroin cheeks, I can't do that. I gotta have something to hold.
You bet. Well, and you know, there's a lot of cliches we can use, but you know, men love curves.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a couple of girls out there that are naturally skinny. I mean, they can eat like a horse and not gain a pound,
but
and
see,
that's great.
And they own that, though.
Right.
Yeah, they own it, and that's who they were.
Let me tell you,
and
their boyfriends are so happy on date.
And they're still super
mm-hmm.
attractive.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's because they own it. It's who they are. They
right.
let it be who they are. They're not sitting there trying to say, oh, my God, I got to do this. I got to
mm-hmm.
do this. They just know that's nature.
Right.
You know.
And this is, I mean, this is coming from a guy opening a gym. I mean, and fitness and physical health is what you're all about.
Exactly.
And if you're going to be healthy, then be healthy.
Yep.
But if you're healthy as a size 22, then own it, man.
Exactly.
Let me tell you, at least a half, if you look statistically, at least a half of men out there love a woman with curves. Just like, you know, we tell everybody the old saying, love your stripes,
mm-hmm.
you know. Your imperfection, like we said, amount of time. But, I mean, do not hurt yourself or harm yourself or put yourself through hell
and like I said,
to fit into somebody else's
know what you bring to the table.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you ain't got a Kim Kardashian butt, then you're not going to be able to pull that off.
Right.
Like me. Take me, for instance. And I'm absolutely not ashamed to throw myself under the bus.
Yeah.
Am I built like Leonidas? No.
Mm-hmm.
So that means I can't walk around in an American Fighter shirt that's
yeah.
six times too small.
Simon Cowell shirt.
You know, not without looking like trying to cram 10 pounds of trash in an 8-pound sack. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's not going to happen for me.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I can do? I can sit here and tighten up the gun sleeves. I can sit here and smile and wink at you and give you a little bit of old school taste that no one does anymore.
But,
I can sit here and have a great mm-hmm. conversation with you and make you feel appreciated. Now, granted, don't get me wrong. I've done a lot of maturing over the last
mm-hmm.
probably 3 months, even two more months as far as when it comes. Because I told you I didn't do this dating thing.
Right.
I didn't take girls on dates. I didn't do this. And it's still a trial and error with me.
Yeah.
Trial and error with me. And like I said, part of that, and I you know, didn't believe it, but it is, it's just coming with maturity.
Yeah.
Only took 35 years.
Well, and you have that teddy bear thing. I'm sure you've been told that by a lot of girls.
And you know,
even teddy bears can be the big bad bear that rips somebody apart, but you know.
And you know what's bad is when I first got told this, I used to always seek, and I'm part of that. I'm part of the, what we were talking about. I used to always seek the, oh my God, you're hot. Oh my God. Just because it boosted what I thought I needed.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that being called, oh, you're really sweet. You're handsome.
Yeah.
I, as much old school as I throw out there, I didn't take it when that old school came back. I was like, so what? I'm like a pansy.
Yeah.
Because I'm sweet. It was the old mentality. It was dumb of me.
Yeah.
But I didn't get that. Because,
7 or better, if she's a 6, hit the bricks, right?
Because I didn't know how to take that kind of compliment because I only shot for certain ones.
Yeah.
So when they were like, you know, when a girl was like, oh, you're real handsome. Oh, you're so sweet. And I'm like, that sounds like I'm just a fucking bitch. There's number 3. We're on the R. You know what I mean? And I'm like... okay, I just officially went down and not realizing she's putting me up on a different level.
Right.
Different level than I was lowering myself.
Right. And coming from somebody who's been married for over a decade now, be with somebody that you can be yourself when you're comfortable. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing one of the most important things that I love about my wife is that I can be so goofy and stupid, not even
she
fun.
She gotta love you if you can be yourself around.
But she gets my sense of humor. And I can be in there and just do the biggest, stupidest thing, and she's gonna find it funny.
You want me to tell you why I like, why I know you and your wife was meant to be?
Okay, let's hear it.
The few times we've all been around each other.
Yeah.
Even before you were married and the few short times we've
been. Yeah, you met her whenever we were just dating.
And y'all were just dating. The few times I saw her the times I've saw her with you before you were married and the times I've seen her after you all been married.
Right.
It's still the same look.
Yeah.
Both y'all.
Yeah.
And it's still the same. And I've always told myself if I'm ever going to get married, that's what I want.
Yeah.
I want that one that I can sit there and look at every day and feel the same way almost as the first.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And you can just when you watch you two, you can see the love.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it. You can just see it. Like there's something like that's unseen scene there.
Yeah.
You know that you can just get a vibe. You get a feel.
That glow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Even through the good or the bad days.
Right. And. Usually, and the biggest killer of relationships is almost always the stupid, piddly shit that gets on your nerves, you know.
I'm big on piddly shit because I am the piddly shit.
Well, and that was part of the point I was about to make is that you have to love somebody who loves you when you're comfortable. And if you feel like you have to put on these garments that make a body there that's not there,
believe.
Because you are going to be chasing that. We did a show a week or two ago about addiction, and it's kind of the same thing. You are constantly going to be attaining that certain feeling.
I'll tell you
for
what,
him.
I'll tell you what, in 2 weeks, we're going to boost this show.
Yeah.
We're going to get an all depth of this even more. We've only been talking about like 20 minutes.
Right.
We're going to do a whole segment over just relationships, what you look in the opposite sex, and what you're going to do. And how to, if you want to pick up one, call us. If you're having girl troubles.
I feel bad for you, son, because I got 99 problems and a
bitch ain't one.
Sorry, couldn't resist.
But that's what we're going to do in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because this week you got Rocklahoma. You're going to be drunk on the show.
I don't start drinking till 3.
So that's cool. So in 2 weeks we're gonna do a big episode over relationships, and I want a lot of people to call.
Yeah.
I want a lot of people just to throw in your 2 cents, talk to us.
Successes, failures.
Man, we'll even talk about where we're at.
Yeah.
You know, in relationships. I mean, it's good to get stuff out just to get it out.
Yeah.
You know, I do a lot of thinking about life anyway.
Right.
And I think what am I doing right? What am I doing wrong? Is this the right timing for this? Is this the right timing for that? And I'm going to tell you right now, there's no right timing for anything.
Yeah, that's but the other, yeah.
You just got to be ready.
Big.
You just got to be ready mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually when it comes around, because second chances for a lot of things don't come around.
And as we wrap up this topic, I do want to leave a final thought for any of you out there who's looking for love. And I've said it time and time again, and it's 100% true. You will never find love while you're looking for it.
Oh, absolutely.
Never. I don't care what if you go on eHarmony. I don't care if you're going to dating sites.
Sorry, Bert. I'll see you.
Love yourself. Find something you love doing that somebody else loves doing it that you're attracted to or drawn to. Those who have hobbies together stay together.
I'll tell you what, too, man. Okay, now that we wrap that up.
Yeah.
For this time. We were talking about my, you know, me going into the gym business. And
sure.
Like I said, I want a gym that everyone can go to.
Right.
I want a gym everyone can feel comfortable at. I'm going to do like a beginner's classes. I'm going to do, you know, whatever, everything in between. But I got a message earlier this week from a gentleman I went to college with. Great dude. I'm not going to name drop because it's not,
right,
you know. But he's had some health issues and he wants to, he had to have a brain surgery to correct some things in him.
Wow.
Yeah, deep stuff, man. Well, about a month or 2 months into his physical therapy, insurance cuts him. And he reached out to me and said, hey, bro, I see you're doing a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, kind of needs some help, man.
Wow.
So I'm looking up, I'm researching. Anybody knows me, I hate to research stuff. I hate to study up stuff. But this is bigger than stuff that I just know.
Right.
And I got my buddy Wes Craig, who used to do personal training, who's done personal training for years, who understands all these concepts that I've been asking.
Yeah.
That we've been studying together, that we're going to do and get this guy back on track to where he needs to be. And I just thought that was super cool, dude. You know, that someone said, hey, I'm comfortable enough with you to reach out.
Yeah.
And for this big of a task, because and at first he was like, man, whatever, what, you know, money issues, blah, blah, blah. Cause you know, they don't work and that's embarrassing.
Right.
And I understand that. So it's not even about that. It's about doing what's right because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's for anybody. Anybody got any issues out there like that? Hit me up.
Yeah.
Hit me up. I don't care if it's, dude, you go to Team Too Strong page, my number's on it.
Yeah.
You know, I messed my phone up. I dropped it in water, so I can't talk.
I can't fix that.
But
I can tag Too Strong, or you can get us on Facebook, facebook.com/AA Meeting Podcast, Twitter, we're AA Meeting Pod.
Or the call in. Or you can Team Too Strong me on, you know, like I said, y'all got any issues, just holler at me. I'm all about helping people. I don't care where you're from.
Yeah, you've always been that way. I think both of us have, not to toot my own horn, but toot, you know. There's no better reward than helping each other.
No, there is, dude.
I think we're both pretty humble about we don't seek praise for doing it. We just, that just reward of seeing their lives better for it.
You do it, man. There's nothing better than helping someone and seeing them get hit that new level of something they didn't think they could do.
Success in whatever
form. And just watch them blow up with pride.
Yeah.
You know, and knowing that you had part of that in you. And like people sit here and talk about, are you a rich man for doing all this? First thing they told me when I was going to open this gym, well, you're not going to make no money. It's not about making money. It's not.
It's about, yeah.
As long as I can pay my bills, I'm happy. Don't get me wrong. I do have to pay my bills. And that's all I want, to be happy.
Right.
But it's not about making money.
Mm-hmm.
It's about helping people to change lives.
Well, and that's your mindset.
That's the big mindset, dude.
You can, you know, money can buy happiness. I don't care what they say. It can buy happiness, but
I don't think it can.
It's superficial happiness. It can't buy fulfillment.
I don't think it can. That's still a contradicting statement. To me, it can't buy happiness. You can be surrounded by all the people in the world and still feel lonely.
Well, that's true. I mean, look, Chris Cornell and Robin Williams. But
exactly.
What I mean is, like, I can buy me a speedboat. Dude, I'm going to be happy on the weekends.
Happy.
But while I'm in it. But
happy-ish.
Yeah. Yeah. But when I'm at home at night and I don't have any friends, or I lose
or
said speedboat.
real friends.
I mean, money and happiness, dude, our money is an elusive, and it's all a big...
I tell you what, I don't have...
Biggest lie there is.
People sit here and say, are you rich?
Yeah.
Because you're going to do this gym? What's rich? What's rich to you, Adam? The speedboat?
This is talking to a man who's got two side businesses, a million projects.
I got that. Answer the question.
No, I don't have any money. But
I'm not asking that. I'm asking what's rich to you.
Well, I'm getting there. I feel like I'm rich.
Exactly.
Because I've got my wife, whom I love. I got my two kids that make me proud every day. I've got my dog.
Exactly.
You know, I've got the life that I wanted.
Your heart's full.
Right.
Not your bank account.
Right. Right.
I got life.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm done,
mm-hmm.
I can't take no money with me.
Yeah.
But when I'm done on this earth, I want to be able to look at whatever's on the other side.
Yeah.
Some people, it's science.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not a science project. I'm a spiritual man. When I get to the other side and I see the Lord looking down at me,
yeah.
I want to be able to say, Lord, I used every ounce of talent you gave me. I have nothing left.
Right there.
That's what I want to use. That's what I
want. That's why we're so good, dude. Because
that's what I want. And I'll tell you what, you will mm-hmm. be the richest person in the world for that. And there's one thing they ain't going to take away from you. You're going to live forever.
Right.
Because you're going to have a legacy that's going to be set in stone.
Right.
That people's going to say, you know what? I didn't quit because of this guy. You know what? I didn't stop because of this guy. You know what? This guy helped me through some. And I'm going to tell you what, this thing what I'm about to do with my buddy,
mm-hmm.
I told my boy Wes, I said, we got to do this. I don't care about the money. Yeah. You know why? Because it rarely, rarely, rarely in your life do you get a chance to sit there and do something that's bigger than you.
Right.
Rarely. Rarely.
You know, there's people that chase this question of what is the meaning of life. And for me, that's always been it, is it's what you leave behind.
Exactly.
And I always use the example when telling somebody of the gravity of, as Isaac Newton would say, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
Oh.
You throw a rock and a pebble in a pond and it's going to make a ripple.
Ripple.
You throw a bigger rock, it's going to make a bigger splash and more ripples.
Exactly.
And you throw a bunch of rocks, and every one of those ripples will affect another one. And so every action that you do is going to affect someone. And then that is all going to be exponential. I've also got some very religious friends and family who's constantly afraid of doomsday and when it's all coming into an end. And they can't stand having the conversation with me because I'm ready to go.
I ain't scared.
And if I get in a car wreck on my way home and die, I can say, one, I did everything I could. Lord knows I made hella mistakes. But I also did everything I could to help people that I felt that could help. I lived every day to its fullest, and I've put myself out there to make a positive impact on the world. Now, I'm not Robin Williams. I'm not Chris Cornell. I'm not somebody that
it don't matter.
Affected
you're gonna. Yeah, you have.
Well,
you're going to, yeah, but it don't matter. Millions or one, it don't matter. You're affecting.
Right.
And you are
yeah.
on a level that
sure.
they are on.
But, you know, we got this podcast.
And that's
yeah.
that's one of the reasons why we did this podcast.
Exactly.
So I can sit here and tell these tales.
Yeah.
So you can tell your tales. So we can sit here and get people motivated. So I can get
right.
people wanting to do something. So I can get someone to want to do something better. And that's what life is about, man. And that's
what
I used to let people for a long time tell me I wasn't.
Yeah.
When I was, I didn't listen to one mass.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't listen to the positive masses that said
right.
you are. I listened to the positive masses that said I wasn't.
And I always saw that too, dude. And that's why
you
bounced around a little bit in your choices of profession. And I it's like I told you that one day, you're not finding that thing that you love to
exactly.
do.
Exactly.
That you're meant to do. You're bigger than this job. And that's, I always told you to run for office, but the gym, you're going to
make. It's still there. Even when I got that gym
yeah.
in 2 years, I'm going to do it.
You know, from somebody who's coached before, I don't care. I wasn't Vince Lombardi. I wasn't, who's a Patriots coach? I can't even think
Bill
of it
Belichick.
Now. I'm not Bill Belichick, but for those few years I did it, I made a positive impact on their lives, and they will never forget it. And I still get stopped at Walmart, and somebody screams, "Coach,
Coach Richmond!"
Mm-hmm. Man, it almost brings tears to my eyes. And people think I'm so cliche because I always throw out one-liners and cliche stuff. But you know, if I made a dozen people's eyes roll with motivational or lessons that can be summed up in a quick mantra, make a dozen people, but I made three people's touch their heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's three people that will take that and that will exponentially go out. And
you know what? Here's the thing. You're only going to sit there and roll your eyes because you don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Or you've heard it a bunch of times.
Or you've heard it a bunch of times. But I'm going to tell you what, if I'm sitting here telling you something, I tell you, I believe in you.
Yeah.
I believe in you through and through.
Right.
We're going to see this thing through the end, whatever we're doing. My buddy that we're about to hit hard with, that's what I told him. I said, don't be scared. Don't be nervous. Don't be embarrassed. We've all been there.
Right.
It's time to grind. Let's get it.
Yeah.
I told him, I said, I'm going to believe in you all the way through, as long as you believe in me. Right. I can't believe for you. I'm not a miracle worker.
Yeah.
The difference between everyone can get motivated, but what keeps you going is dedication.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we try to drive into them.
Yeah.
You know, once you get that first positive gain in your life of doing whatever we're going to try to do for you, that's where the ball starts rolling. And then, like I always said, positivity feeds positivity.
Right.
Just like negativity is going to feed negativity.
Yeah. We're going to get those shirts, dude.
We are.
What we're talking about is we're going to get some shirts made, and these aren't official AA meeting license shirts or anything crazy like that. But we just want something out there that you can wear. And we got that you can wear it, but people's going to read it and you're going to impact somebody. And we'll have them on our Facebook page. You can buy those. And we're not profiting this. We're not trying to get rich or anything off of that. We just want one. We do want to get our name out there so that we can spread the word. And we also want to spread the message.
Yep.
No matter what you do, if your message isn't touching people in a positive way, you've got the wrong message.
Exactly. Exactly.
But on a lighter note, one message that didn't come across the way it should, post-fight on one of our boys, we saw a trainer. Like, I'll let you tell the story.
Anybody who watched the Showtime boxing card last night, I can't pronounce the Mexican guy's name. It's too tongue twisted for me. It's
right.
Yuka something. I don't even know. But he fought Andre Durrell.
Right.
And Andre Durrell went to eight rounds. Round like three or four. Round three or four, he gets hit late after the bell, which, okay, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I told everybody on the, like, bunch of people was like, that's bull. I understand it is.
Right.
But from the day I walked into a gym, I got told protect myself at all times.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not waiting. And I've been victim of not protecting myself at all times after a bell. So trust me, it's irritating.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I was like, well, he heard the bell. He probably didn't. He probably didn't.
Yeah. Well, you know, you get into that muscle memory that grew.
It's going. It's going on instinct at that point.
Right. We have certain bodily functions that once they start, you can't stop. You start peeing. Let me see you pinch that off whenever somehow. I mean, you just got to finish.
Exactly.
You know? And that's a bad example, but
nah, that's a good example.
You know, it went off, but he was in the middle of a flurry of attacks. Yeah.
Then the eighth round hits.
Right,
the eighth round hits. It's at the end of the round, and Durrell backs himself up into the ropes.
Right,
and I can't even pronounce the Mexican guy's name, but he goes in dropping bombs. The ref hollers out 5 seconds. Okay, I got you, ref. I don't hear you.
Yeah.
You're not my trainer's voice.
Right.
You don't hear nothing but the trainer's voice. The ref says 5 seconds, but doesn't move in.
Right.
At that point, the ref, in my opinion, should start moving his way because he's like, they're engaging.
Let's wrap it up, guys. Play him out.
Hang on. Let me get ready because I'm going to jump in and stop the action. The bell's going off. The bell is going off. And... as the bell's going off, it's still dinging. Mm-hmm. And Darrell gets hit with a three-piece, 1-2-3.
Mm-hmm.
Left hook hits him at the end and right. starches him. He's done. Drops face first, knocks him out.
Yeah.
I put a big blame on the ref
right.
for saying 5 seconds and not getting ready to jump in there because they're yeah. in a moment of action.
At least get something in his tract of vision. I want to see how many – go this week and just find somebody that is really bad about interrupting you. And I realize I just interrupted you.
Oh, you're fine. We do that all the time.
That's my biggest pet peeve in life is a habitual person who interrupts. Just for those out there, don't do it. It's rude. But find somebody who cuts you off every time you say something and see how many times you stop on the mid-word when they interrupt you. You don't, because you are so used to expressing your point and finishing a sentence that if somebody cuts in, well, and then I'm going to – it's over, right? See, I mean, it's not natural. It's not a natural reaction. So, I mean, it sucks, but we'll share the video on our Facebook page, AA Meeting Podcast. But it was obvious it wasn't malicious. And he was a really, really good sportsman, showed nothing but sportsmanship.
Darrell walked over, apologized.
Yeah, hugged him, went and apologized to the corner,
mm-hmm.
everybody involved. Then what happened?
Well, then Darrell's uncle gets up, runs across the ring, nonchalantly kind of act like he's just over there talking, and sucker punches the Mexican guy. And I'm like, wow.
And, dude, he hit him like
he hit him
freaking sledgehammer. Turned his head. I thought I would have been afraid he got whiplash or snapped his neck. I mean, his head turned halfway around.
I wouldn't ever be worried about him snapping your neck. I mean, pretty close out in the ring and in the street.
Dude, his chin was level with his shoulder.
I'm sure my face looked like that a lot of times. I'm going to try to figure out this cat's name, man. I can't pronounce it. Hang on.
But, yeah, I mean, he knocked the taste out of his mouth. I mean, and not only that, it was bare knuckle. I mean, totally oblivious. He did
tell
not
me if you can pronounce that.
Yeah, rotate it. Hold on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Unkajui?
Ooze Katagui.
That's why we can't
Ooze
pronounce
Katagui.
It.
Okay. I'm going to spell it for you guys. UZCATEGUI. Yeah, that's a tongue twister. We just shared it onto our Facebook page earlier today. That's
and
what
you
we're
watch
talking
the video.
About.
You watch
yeah.
the video on there live.
Watch that video.
Well, not live, but.
It's insane. And normally we throw it up on the – on our big screen here, but last week that kind of caused some problems. So,
and what's crazy is now his uncle has a warrant out for his arrest for first degree and second degree assault.
Good.
Exactly. I totally Good. Agree. Totally agree. 100%.
Even the announcers would say, dude, that's assault mm-hmm. right here. Yeah.
And a lot of people say, oh, I've never seen that happen again. Well, I've seen it happen once when I first started the cubbyhole.
Yeah.
Me and the old crew, the crew that you didn't see.
Mm-hmm.
Was working, and we were watching Friday Night Fights on ESPN.
Yeah.
There's a guy named Richard Grant and James Butler. And James Butler lost to Richard Grant, was a number 8 fighter in the world.
Okay.
And as Grant's walking up to say, hey, man, good fight, whatever, yada, yada, yada,
mm-hmm.
Butler sucker punches him, knocks him smooth out. Only difference was I don't remember him getting any charges brought on him. Well, of course, they're not going to make that mistake twice.
Yeah.
So – Darrell's uncle now is wanted in the D.C. In Washington, D.C., whatever, PD, whatever, are looking for him. And as soon as they find him, he's
good. That is just an excuse. I mean,
Barry.
The contact on it mm-hmm. is just, I don't want to say traumatizing, but it will leave. You will not forget it. You will not unsee that for a while. And Lord,
I tell you what,
didn't.
That dude had a chin on him because he took it and stood there, his eyes open up real big. Don't get me wrong. He didn't know what happened, but.
Now, if somebody did that, you worked with a lot of fighters. Do you know very many fighters that would not have retaliated?
Well, it's not even the fact that you wouldn't retaliate. He was out on his feet.
Yeah.
So you don't, I don't want to say you don't have time to retaliate,
uh-huh.
but you're in that, whoa, this, it's kind of like.
Well, I mean, he got his bell rung.
Let's say you're in a football game.
Yeah.
I'm going to make an analogy. Let's say you're okay. in a football game and you go sit on the sideline and someone just runs up and spears you to tackle you.
Yeah.
You're not expecting it. But if you're out on the field, If you're on the field, you're expected to get
yeah.
hit.
Yeah.
Same concept that dude did. Hey, the fight's over. Okay, we're just all chilling. I'm having that mindset doesn't
yeah.
change back. He's more just, damn, man, what happened? You know, why did this happen? You know, he's thinking
yeah.
about getting disqualified, and then you got punched twice in the face.
And it's just so sad because his nephew showed such
class.
Sportsmanship
mm-hmm.
and class. And, dude, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Hey, I was wrong. All right, that's cool. These are some cool guys.
Oh, face.
You got knocked up out.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's
exactly.
really bad. But
and you know that just sucks, man. That's just disorder. And like I said, yeah, protect yourself at all times. The ref, I blame the ref a lot of times.
Yeah,
I've seen punches way worse come after the bell than what that was.
Right.
And I mean, it's gonna make this whole thing be worse than what it.
Well, I don't care if you're Floyd Mayweather. Somebody catches you when you're not ready.
So,
and bare knuckle, it wouldn't matter if you went
out.
Like, yeah.
He wasn't just a little guy. He was like
it was a soft. Now, the follow-up punch missed completely and got
yeah.
him right in the neck.
Thank goodness, because had
yeah.
that follow-up landed,
yeah.
over. The dude's lights out.
The second punch looked like if I threw a punch. Like, wildly, get him in the shoulder. Dude, that was everything I had.
Yeah, that slow motion shot, man, that was money on it.
Oh,
right
my
there.
God, but yeah.
I tell you another thing, I'm talking about unacceptable. Did you see where Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., after the Canelo fight, was partying with, they're going to say probably call girls.
Yeah.
And got robbed.
So is it, did he pay the girl and then claim she robbed him?
I don't know. But they jacked his $3 million check.
Holy.
Yeah, them girls weren't playing.
Like a check?
A check for $3 million that he got for the fight.
Oh, he's getting embezzled.
And.
Or not embezzled. What is it? Blackmailed.
Getting something.
Not an STD, apparently.
Not an STD because they just straight robbed him.
Oh, my God.
But they took a $3 million check and not in the way he wanted. They took a $3 million check, a $40,000 Rolex.
Yeah.
And something else. I can't remember what else. Beside his pride.
And marriage.
And he's married. And his wife was in Vegas, but not at the room. This dude had the guts to bring the girl to his room.
Bowling balls. Just.
While his wife is in Vegas with him.
Holy crap.
What do you say? Here, honey, here's 20 G's.
Can you imagine that phone call to the promoter of the fighting boy? Hey, I'm going to need you to go ahead and cancel that check.
Screw that.
Can
you imagine the phone call to your wife? Hey, baby, you remember that $3 million I just made? But these hookers just straight robbed us of it.
Let me tell you, he's never had a fight like that. He's about to get home.
Well, he just lost that $3 million for sure because he's taking it in a divorce.
Yeah, his wife just became War Machine, dude.
I was like, get out.
How the hell? Oh, my gosh. You know what? I'm not going to do anything that retarded, but I'm not leaving Vegas with more than $5 and a shitty Walmart $5 watch.
I will say this. I've read the whole mm-hmm. article. They said they recovered the $3 million check.
Good.
Probably because the girls couldn't cash it anywhere.
Yeah, that's what
they realized that probably once they went back to whoever was hustling with them. Said, hey, we ain't going to be able to take that. You know, let that shit go.
Yeah, yeah.
With that $40,000 watch, you can go get a couple of G's out of it.
What, you bring me a check, ho?
Well, exactly.
Did he endorse it?
Welcome back, Chavez. But, I mean, that's bad, man. That's
yeah.
just bad all around.
Oh, it's so funny, though. It's so sad. It's funny. I feel so bad. I want to feel bad for the guy, but what's he doing with hookers anyway?
Up in your room when your yeah. wife ain't there. What do you expect was going to happen?
Now,
you got
listen,
a room full of hookers.
I've been to Vegas, okay? You go out, if you go sightseeing, you may get approached by working girls, but they don't come to your room unless you call them.
Or throwing out some cash to them.
Yeah, yeah.
And you
I
know
mean,
what's bad? What else is worse about? You know, I've been to Vegas. I went Vegas VIP.
Right.
Yeah, he's who those. He just had a pay per view fight. I went VIP. That's what he was. He was bigger VIP than me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what VIP means? You don't pay for nothing.
You don't pay for nothing.
Okay. Every single room comes standard with a safe, too, though.
Yep.
Why are you walking around? Will you be walking around with a $3 million check in your wallet?
Nope.
I don't care. I don't even think Money Mayweather rolls around with that
kind
of stuff.
I tell you
what
I'm going to do. I'm going to go deposit that thing.
Right? Or at least throw it in the safe until you wake up. I mean, it's freaking Vegas.
It's $3 million. Now, don't get me wrong. This may be different for them.
Well, this is where OJ got robbed.
True.
I mean...
$3 million. I don't even know what I'd be crying if someone stole $3 million.
Well, I'm sure he's crying, but I don't think it's over that million.
$3 million.
Because you know his wife's going to get triple that.
Yep. She got everything he owns right now.
I wonder where they're registered. If they're California, he just lost half of his asset.
I tell you what else was disappointing for me this week in boxing. It was my boy Sam Briggs.
Uh huh.
Sam Briggs been on this great comeback, trying to get people to fight him for the last like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Great story. Dude got mm-hmm. depressed, got like almost 400 pounds. Now he's like shredded like a razor blade cut him
mm-hmm.
and just on a mission to become a champion again.
Okay.
He's like 43, 44 years old.
Yeah.
Great story,
mm-hmm.
but tested positive for high elevations of testosterone. And they canceled his title fight against Fresno Kendo.
See, I don't know how I feel about the title, especially for an old man.
But the thing is I know you're talking about TRT, testosterone replacement therapy.
Yeah.
That's still illegal by Olympic testing that they go by.
I think they need to be a little bit more, because if you've got a deficiency, this levels you out. This isn't for an advantage.
But there's so many ways. I mean, it could be just like a little bit level off, and that doctor will say, "Okay, here you go."
Yeah, that's true.
He's got more pull than what we got.
Yeah,
that disappointed me, man. That was he's one of my favorite, like right now, just because I love the story.
Yeah. Yeah, you were really bummed about that. I think that's bull crap. I have to call BS. I understand it can possibly give you an unfair advantage, but you know what? There's a lot of medication out there in the world that, you know,
raises
your levels, and people need this to survive. That's what's next. I mean, they ban you for pain pills.
They do. You can't take like you can take like aspirin and ibuprofen, but if you get caught with like
if you got like rheumatoid arthritis and they're giving you like Vicodin and
you can't take it, not for the time up to your fight.
That's dumb.
Well, because they're gonna say that painkiller can dull what you're gonna feel in there.
That's what made me bring it up. Yep. That's stupid. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I don't mean like the joint pain that you're feeling. I mean like the pain that you're gonna be feeling from someone beating on you.
Yeah.
I tell you what, too, we got a huge, huge, huge fight coming up next weekend of Errol Spence Jr. versus Kell Brook. Super pumped about that. Kell Brook just coming off his loss to Triple G, where he went from weighing 147 up to 160.
Wow.
A lot of people saying they got an issue with Kell Brook coming down,
mm-hmm.
back down to 147 because he looks so full.
Right.
Filled out at 160 that he looked like he belonged at one, that he competed at 160 against the toughest dude in that division.
Yeah.
Moving back down to 147, still looks like he's jacked, still, you know, muscled up.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Errol Spence is a young cat. I like him. I don't know if he's ready yet for that mm-hmm. big of a stage. I hope he is because I'm pulling for him because he's mm-hmm. America, and it's America versus the UK. But Spence is so far just, in my opinion, that's what we do with every boxer.
Yeah.
He's beaten the people that he should have.
Yeah.
And now he went from beating the people to he should have, taking a title fight.
Yeah.
Not beating the people that he should have, and then beating a little bit stiffer competition. Beating a little
progressive.
Yeah. Building them. So don't get me wrong, he's probably full of confidence.
Right.
But confidence and being able to hold your own against that top notch caliber kind of fighter is totally different than the experience. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Confidence and experience are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
Kell Brook's got a lot of experience and a lot of confidence. And right now, I love Errol Spence, and I'm pulling for him, and I'm still going to say he's going to stop Kell Brook in the 10th.
And when is this?
Next Saturday.
Next Saturday is
on
it
Showtime.
Showtime. Okay.
And like I said, I'm pulling for I'm going to say Errol Spence TKO
mm-hmm.
in the 10th round. I'm going to say he's going to be losing most of the fight.
Right.
It's going to be if it's 10th round, it's probably going to be – I'm going to say he's going to be 6-4 – 7-3
mm-hmm.
kind of fight, but I think he's going to stop him in the 10th because the kid's got heart, the kid's got grind,
And that's what he's going to need to beat this guy with a lot of experience.
Also, real quick, a little bit of news. McGregor signed his contract.
Yes, but Floyd Mayweather saying there is no contract.
Right. So the
it's a contract that Dana White made.
Is it two steps forward or three steps back?
I think it's about even.
Yeah.
I think it's just there.
It's just show. Hey, no, don't forget about us. We're doing something.
All they're doing is square dancing.
Yeah.
They're going in the same spots and coming back to the same area.
Right.
Over and over. I forgot all about that when we did talk about that. And McGregor saying that he signed the contract, you know, what contract?
Yeah.
And then it goes on TNT that it's Dana White was on TNT on the NBA with the announcers on the playoffs. And said, well, it's a contract that he wrote up.
Oh,
get out of here, man.
That's like writing it on a napkin.
Exactly.
The other big news is Bisbing is
out.
He's out. He dropped out due to injury because some what was it? One of his competitors said he couldn't compete, and so they was going to give him something. No, I want whoever it was.
He had GSP.
Yeah.
And GSP, for whatever reason, I can't remember why they pulled GSP. I don't know if he got hurt or what.
Yeah.
But they replaced him. I can't remember the dude's name, but the dude looks like a 300 warrior.
Yeah.
Bisping's like, oh, no, I want the old guy.
He's going to kick him in the gut and scream, this is Sparta.
He's like, give me the old man. I don't want these young up-and-comers, man.
Oh, man. Well, just like Bisping, it's almost time for us to drop out. if we're winding down on a couple minutes. And for me, as always, guys, if you, you've got anything you would like to promote, we need sponsors, guys. We need to help pay for this podcast. It pays for itself. We'll keep doing it either way. But the more money that you can provide for us for advertising for you, the better the show gets. So as always, I'm Adam. And Arlo, I'm going to leave you to give these fine folks some words to live by.
Well, you know, we talked a lot about life, love, things that make you, things that break you, and everything in between today, really. You know, but I started thinking about riches and possessions and what you want to do with your life and how you want to get there. You know, there's many ways we can get the things we want in this life for ourselves. And people always think of, you know, ways they want to do it, but ultimately it just comes down to how you think. What you think, what you choose to think. If you're going to sit here and say it's this thing's fault, it's that thing's, well, you're going to start believing it. But if you're going to sit here and say, I can fix it, I can move on, I can make it better, I can do better, I can become better, you know, it ultimately all starts with where you think. You just got to decide of what's it going to be, who you're going to be, what do you got to do to get there, and who you have to become to get there. And once you make those decisions, you're going to see the universe is going to get out your way. The universe is going to get out your way. And I can't stress that enough. And that's what I want people to believe is you've got to believe. Once you get to believing that it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And positivity feeds positivity. And from, like I said, that point on, you're going to get the universe will get out your way. And, you know, I heard this old long time ago. I heard a long time ago that the old proverb notion that what you think about all day is what you are. What you think about all day is what you are. If you're at your job and you're like, man, I hate it, you're going to hate your job. But if you're at your job saying, man, this is just a stepping stone. This is my grinding stone. This is what I'm doing to get here, to get there. Well, that's what you're thinking. That's where you're going with this. And what I'm heading toward with this is, like I said, what you think about all day long is what you are. Once you know that what you think about is what expands, you start becoming real careful about what you think about. So I'll leave it with this, that as you think, you shall be. In this life, you can either give up, give in, or give it all you got, baby. Till next Sunday, don't forget, as always, keep living strong, keep training strong. Most importantly, baby, keep loving strong. Till next Sunday, AA meeting, we out.